So I'm not sure exactly where we left off last week. We're gonna hopefully see how far we get. Finish up some of the halachas of Meiser Ksofim, and then we'll have to discuss what to learn next. I didn't do a lot of talking last week.
But you were going to tell us what happened with your situation.
No, I didn't look into it more than what we had. It was a little complicated. But one thing that I wanted to move on into, which is, what do you use your Maisi money for? Okay, this is a question which comes up all the time. So, in other words, till now we've been discussing what money is obligated in Maisi. How much are you obligated in Maisi? What are all the cheshbonos of Maisi? But now I wanted to discuss a little bit, what can you use your Maisi money for? Okay?
Cola.
Now, what?
Cola.
Yeah, that's going to be the maskana, obviously.
That's the ending.
Yeah, don't ruin the ending. I mean, not that that was much of a surprise.
You're ruining the whole plot.
Yeah, but
Disregard the last comment.
It's better if someone else says it. So. Okay, so what we talked about originally in the first couple shiurim was trying to figure out exactly what's the difference between tzedakah and meiser. Clearly, tzedakah is for a nir. Meiser, however, and this is the chiddush I was leading up to a couple times, and I just want to say it inside now, is that meiser, where does meiser ksofim come from? Where does meiser on your earnings come from? Meiser on your grain, meiser on tevuah, on grain, that's clear, that's psukim in the Torah. Meiser that we give on our earnings is only a minute, as we spoke out. Maybe only a minute. Oh. But what's a keneged? It's keneged, the meiser that they used to give to the Kohanim and the Levim. That's the idea of it. So says the...
Which, from my point, they still should be doing.
Kohen and Levi.
Okay.
And you're Levi.
No.
I know, that's different schlosses.
You said that.
Yeah, the schlosses are Levim.
Still makes me serve him.
Yeah. So the Chafetz Chaim writes that why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu make the mitzvah of Maaser to give to Kohanim? Why did
no
the Kohanim? What?
They had no land.
But, yeah, but why did he make it like that? Because the Kohanim and the Levim were supposed to be dedicate themselves to teach Klal Yisrael. Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das, that they were the ones that were supposed to teach Klal Yisrael how to. You know, they're the ones that are supposed to teach, and the teachers and the Talmidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael. So says the Chafetz Chaim that therefore, if Meiser Ksofim is Kenegan Meiser Tvua, then the idea is primarily not to give it to Aniyim. The idea is Be'ikar, the Takana of Meiser was to give it to Talmidei Chachamim, to give it to support Torah. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. He says, the Chafetz Chaim says that I probably have it here. The ikur is to give it la amole Torah, and the reason again is because it's connected to Meiser Ksofim. He says. Well, I don't see it right now. This is something I should know exactly where it is, right? Another very interesting thing he says is because that's the case, okay, that the ikar of Meiser Ksofim, as opposed to tzedakah, tzedakah is laniyim, but the ikar of Meiser is to give it to support Torah. The ikar of Meiser is to support Torah, that's what it's made for. So he says, everyone says over the Gemara, people say the Gemara, you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to tzedakah. Mm-hmm. You can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, I'm giving this tzedakah, a manas, that I become rich. Because it says, if you give tzedakah, you become rich. Then you're allowed to do that. And you're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to any other mitzvah. When it comes to tzedakah, you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And say, you know, you said that if you do this, you become rich. I want to see. So the place can say, it's not by tzedakah, it's only by Meiser. It's only by Meiser. And the Nitziv says, why is it by Meiser?
It doesn't work. I do that at Chinese auctions all the time.
Yeah, I did that last night. I'll buy the tickets. I'll give you the Meiser, whatever I win.
Because Meiser says...
What? You can't do it that way.
Well, that's the only way. Well, you use Meiser money to buy the tickets. Whatever you win, then you get Meiser off of that. So it was a win-win for God.
Yeah.
You know what?
He was happy with the win.
Somebody else said they'll give 20%.
How you're going to get it back. It doesn't mean it's going to be right there.
Meiser is a set amount.
MISA is at 1/10.
Right, so I'm saying maybe that's the reason why.
Oh, that's why you should contest. So you're supposed to do exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, but what's the pasuk? What's the source that you're allowed to test the Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's the source? It's the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Uvchanuni nami." Hashem says, I want there to be food in my home. The teref bevesi, ubechanuni nami bezos, like a bechina, a test. Ubechanuni nami bezos, Amar Hashem, im lo eftach lachem sarubo es hashamayim varikosi lachem brocha, and I'll give you tremendous brocha if you you test me. But he says the reason is, vi teref bevesi, because I want there to be food, quote unquote, in my house. And then it says that the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to test him when it comes to Meiser is because he wants there to be an incentive for people to give it, because that's the only way that there's going to be continual learning of Torah. So specifically money which is given to support Torah and to continue there being Torah in the house of Hashem, and Hashem made a specific incentive on that mitzvah of supporting learning, that in Maaseh you could test the Kodesh Baruch. That's what the Netziv says. And really, the Chafetz Chaim himself, the Chafetz Chaim writes the same thing. The reason why the Torah allows us to test Hashem, it's not because you're doing a mitzvah, because you're supporting the Kohanim and Levim, and they will be able to do the service in the temple. So nowadays, that's true. By giving to Talmidei Chacham that are going to be learning, you're going to be doing the same thing as they did in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the way you keep the fire going. So the Chafetz Chaim and the Netziv both say that not only is the ikar of the mitzvah of Meiser to give it to Tzadik, to Talmidei Chachamim, and to give it Lishma, but that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to allowed us to test him in that mitzvah. And he says the Chafetz Chaim, "Im kein hachanami l'inyan ma'aser k'safim she'ikrei niskan l'chatchila l'hachzik yidei amolei Torah." That's the words of the Chafetz Chaim. It's pretty strong words, the Chafetz Chaim, you know. So that's now again, you're not supposed to always give everything to one cause, but the ikar of the takana, the purpose was to give a mali Torah. Nowadays, since we fulfill our mitzvah, this is the way Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes. He says nowadays we fulfill our mitzvah of tzedakah with ma'aser. We don't give tzedakah separate from our ma'aser. Right? We don't usually have a separate tzedakah account and a separate ma'aser account. And then there's just one thing, you give ma'aser. So that what could happen is you could give all your money to support yeshivas and stuff, and you won't have any money left to give poor people.
So, I thought you were supposed to have two separate accounts.
Well, for Meiser, but I mean, within the Meiser.
No, I'm saying I thought you were supposed to have two separate, one for Meiser and another account for Tzedakah.
Oh, really?
Meiser is, that's what I thought.
Whatever you give for Tzedakah counts as Meiser.
I thought they were two separate things.
Oh, okay. It is two separate mitzvahs, but most people, the minhag is today, is that you make a separate ma'aser and use that ma'aser for everything. So since most people are not mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah aside from their ma'aser money, so Chaim Kanievsky says you should give to aniyim also, even though the ikar of ma'aser is to give to talmidei chachamim. But since you wouldn't be giving necessarily to just plain old aniyim otherwise, so a poor guy who's an amar, it's not going to get, he's going to starve. So therefore you should also give to aniyim with the ma'aser money, even though the ikar is to support learning. Do you understand that distinction?
I understand it. Again, I just...
that didn't overlap. There's no overlap.
Okay.
There. I'm saying
I've always done it separately.
Really?
I had my ma'aser money, and then I had my tzedakah money. When the guys come to the house, you know, doing for this and that, it's sometimes it's for their personal illnesses. That was tzedakah.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty good. Most people aren't aware. Most people don't do that. Are not aware of that. Most people, you know, assume Meiser is any charitable, any 501c3, any nonprofit, you know, charitable cause that goes into my Meiser, basically. And which there is sources to say that you could say that, but the point would be then if you would be constantly giving to those organizations, you wouldn't have money left for aniyim. So you should give aniyim some sort of priority.
Kollel, you get both of them.
Yeah, by the way, we're on Niamh and we're on Niamh and Learn. So
exactly.
You could
fill. You get too much Meisr account.
Let's say at the end of the month you have $1,000 in that Meisr account.
Yeah.
Or the beginning of the month. And you decide, you say, I want to put half of this into Meisr Torah for Torah learning. And the other half I'm going to hold on because I know that throughout the month there's people that come to my door. Aren't you supposed to do it with like a complete faith that you're going to put all this money now when Hashem is giving it to you and not wait and hold on to something for the people that are coming door to door?
You're allowed to hold on to it. You're allowed to hold on to money that you've separated in order to give it to the right cause. So if you believe the right cause is to give to the people that come, then you're allowed to hold on to that.
Time for it. Is your faith based on how much money
you make? I could wait 5 years because I haven't found
that's, I don't think it's an issue of faith. You know, you've already separated it, so now you have money. Now the question is,
what's the time frame?
Yeah, I could wait 5 years
and I haven't found the right person then
for the rest of the month.
You can just keep on holding on.
Well,
you're talking Meisr or Sedaka?
Yeah, what do you, well, you're probably talking about, did you separate? Well, this is one thing that we spoke about last week, which I want to speak out again because it was important, which is that. So what do you mean? So there is an Isser. There is an Isser of Balta Acher, which we spoke about one time. That to hold on to Meisr, to Tzedakah money, when you have it and you've already separated it, to hold on to it and not give it, that could be Balta Acher. People are asking you and you can give it. That could be a serious problem. If it comes to a situation where you want to be, you know, these are people. If you don't want to give to, if you don't want to give it to them, then it's not Balta Acher. You're not planning on giving it. But if this is something that you would give to, you just didn't get around to it, or whatever it is, this is Be'etzem and Ani that you would give to. For example, I spoke out one time, there's a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Sukkah. Mishnah Berurah says that if it's raining the first night of Sukkot, so usually you have to wait until it stops raining. So he says, but if you have poor people in your house, you should eat right away because it could be Balta Acher. Because you invited them over, you're mechuyev to give them food, and now you're waiting. And you have the food to give them. So you have the food, they're standing there, they're waiting, they're hungry. So why aren't you giving them? Because you're firm, because you want to wait. He says, it's a chashash de'araisa of Balta Acher.
So then you're going to...
It's unbelievable.
So it says, why are you eating right now?
He says, yeah, because you haven't eaten in 3 days, that's why, right?
We have some poor people. So.
But that's what Mishnah Berurah says, says a chiddush. But generally, it's not Balta Acher if you're holding on to the money to give to the... You're waiting for the cause that you want. In other words, to come to your door, you only distribute.
How do you know, my point is, how do you know somebody will come to your door? I'm not using your example because I do it also, but I'm saying, how do you know somebody will come to your door? Because what if at the end of the month you're left with another $200?
Move to our neighborhood.
And that person, okay, and have a term maybe a little bit
you
different.
You don't live here. Move you live here. You won't have anything by the end of the month.
I'm saying you're left with it, and maybe you could have given that to a cause that needed at that time, in the beginning of the month.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Balta.
Yeah, that's okay. Is what?
You're going to say, how do I just translate it in what?
Do not be ma'achar late. Do not delay giving out your tzedakah. Yeah.
Here, once you give a nice amount, you're on the list. Everybody's going to come to you. You're set.
Baruch Hashem, they give you the opportunity. Okay, so now, because of this, what's very interesting is that as a segue into the next point, what are you going to say?
With the Meisr money, can we take a organization like we give to Kupat Ha'ir and Rabbanim,
Yes, that's tzedakah, yeah.
Yeah, that's tzedakah, not Meisr.
I mean, you're Mekayim Meisr with that.
But isn't, again, in my mind, they're two separate things. When you're giving that, though, that's going to Talmid HaChacham, and
right.
We need the help.
It's true. Definitely. They're giving to Talmid HaChacham who are need right. Yeah, so it would really be both. That's something like that is an ideal, in other words, when you're giving to Talmid HaChacham who need the money, so you're fulfilling both in an ideal way.
Are we mechuyev to give, forgive me, you're here now, so, like to this kollel before we would give to a kollel outside of our area?
There would be akdima. It's not necessarily Ataniyim is a kedima, and Hilchas Aniyim is a kedima. If you have two equal organizations which are not Aniyim, I'm not aware of that there's a kedima specifically. Like you're saying, it makes sense that any organization, the hospital, or Bikur Cholim of this city versus that city, which is not Aniyim, but people have a sense of achrayus to the local.
And when we get these letters, you know, from Feinstein, you know, and all of them, you know, they just lost someone.
Yes, it's very hard to know. That's tzedakah. Now, the Chofetz Chaim says, and we spoke this out last week, I just want to get into the next point from this, which is very interesting, which is like this. The Chofetz Chaim says is that, just like we understand when you have grain, you're supposed to formally separate the Maaser and the Truma. You have Alpai, you separate it. She says this is the Hafrasha, you're supposed to separate the money when it comes to Maaser also. So in other words, as opposed to just keeping a Cheshbin in your bank account, you know, this is the amount of money came in this month, so I know I have to give $100. You should actually make a formal Hafrasha and separate the Maaser. Okay, that's the Chofetz Chaim writes. And not only that, the Chofetz Chaim writes is that even if you're going to be generous, you know what, okay, I won't be exact, I'll give 12%. He says, there's inyanim in Kabbalah, okay, Rav Chaim, and Chofetz Chaim writes, there's inyanim in Kabbalah that we may not be aware of, and there's only inyanim in Halacha, that you should actually separate 10%. You should be mafresh 10%. And then you could give extra beyond that. But there should be a separation of 10%. Now what comes very interesting is that there are people who give, not maaser, but give a chaymish, which is a fifth, which is two maasers. It's a fifth of the money. There's a hanhaga of people that they give a chaymish, a fifth. And what's the source for that? Because it says, kosher ta titanli, anything give me, aser tasrenu loch. It says maaser twice. I will surely give maaser. But it says aser, a tenth, tasrenu, I will surely give you a maaser, which is two tenths, which is a fifth. So the Chofetz Chaim says the following. So someone that gives a chaymish, very interesting, someone that gives a chaymish should not separate 20%. Because what's the source? We just said, what's the source for giving a chaymish? So you separate a tenth, and then another tenth. So you're supposed to separate it twice. Give a tenth, and then give a second tenth off that tenth. That's the way you should separate it, l'chatchila. Give a tenth, and then another tenth.
A tenth off of
it. No. Well, a tenth off the 90 or off the original? I don't know.
The original.
I would think off the original too. It's just a way to get to a fifth of the total. You're not getting to a fifth of the total otherwise. But you're just saying you should do it twice. And now that you're doing it twice, listen to this. So now that you do it twice, so he says the following. He says, when you have grain, let's just go back to the example of grain. If anyone looked at Mishnayis, Zeroyim, so you know that there's Maaser Rishon and there's Maaser Sheni. Maaser Rishon, you give to the Levium, which we're saying is giving it to the Talmidei Chachamim. But Maaser Sheni, every 2 years you bring it to Yerushalayim, and the third year you give it to Aniyim. So the Chofetz Chaim says is that if you're giving a fifth, then the first 10% is Maaser Rishon, which should be going to Torah, to be Machzak Torah, and the second fifth, which is connected to Maaser Ani, that could go to the Aniyim, and so therefore if you're giving a Chaymish, a full fifth of the, you should separate a tenth and then a tenth. The first tenth should be to Talmidei Chachamim or to Torah and other Moistis, and then the second tenth should be to Aniyim. So a very interesting Chofetz Chaim in terms of how to go about it, but again that has to do with the Hafrasha, and again the reason being that it's parallel to the Maaser of grains. So that's halacha, which, you know, a lot of people.
Is there a priority to give to somebody who's a chacham but also is an ani?
So I would think so. Yeah, because then you're fulfilling, like he's saying, you're fulfilling tzedakah and maaser.
They still have to deny they're not allowed to become tameh.
You know, but even if he's not an ani now, but if he wouldn't be supported or he wouldn't be getting the extra help that he's getting, or if the yeshiva wouldn't be able to pay him, he would be. So then you're still, then it's the same thing also, because the whole idea is that you're supporting and being machzik that the Torah should be learned. So, you know, I would assume that even if he's not on it now, but most likely he would be on the verge of being one if the money wouldn't be coming in. So, now, okay, so that's now that we've established that that's the ikkar. But the maaser, people do all sorts of things with their maaser, and that's fine. It's brought down, like we spoke about 1 week, is that people, all sorts of different things you could do with your maaser. So I just want to cover some of those, and then we'll see what's left. One thing that comes up, actually this is an interesting shayla, a friend of mine was ma'ir this shayla. Now what he wanted to do was, let's back up one step before that. The halacha is, is one allowed, let's put it this way, is one allowed to support his own children with Meiser money?
I think it's only a certain amount. You can't do all of your Meiser to your kids.
Okay, so there's a couple, there's a breakdown in halacha depending on the age and the amount, like you're saying. Okay, a child who's less than 6 years old, you can't use your Meiser money to support because you're obligated to support that child. Anything that you're obligated to do, this is what we spoke at already a couple times, anything you're obligated to do, like Matanos Lavyonim is a mitzvah to give on Purim, you can't use Meiser money for that. Anything you're obligated to do, you can't use Meiser money. So you're obligated to support your children less than six. Says the Shach, but a child more than six, see you later, you know. Api halacha, you're not mechuyev to support them. If that... Well,
they always want money. They're 8 years old and they want money.
Yeah, 8 years old, the chutzpah. So the Shach says that if the kid is more than six, you don't have to support them anymore, and therefore you could use Meiser to support them. But there's two problems with that. First of all, Aruch HaShulchan says that mamsh, terrible, you can't do such a thing because then no aniyim are ever going to get money and the people that are poor are going to remain poor and we can't do that to Klai Yisrael. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says. But besides that, Ramesha writes that it goes according to the minhag hamakom. And it goes according to the age at which normal children become self-sufficient in each country. So here, wherever it is...
27, 28.
45. So therefore, a child who's still at home, living at home, basically, without a job in school, is definitely under that category, and a person will not be able to take their Meiser money, use their Meiser money for that.
We were taught base medrash after high school. And the same learn base medrash, and girls, if they go to
seminary. Right, because they're not living at home anymore at that point. And right. So that would make sense according to that, because theoretically they're at that age that they could be self-sufficient, and you're supporting them in their learning.
And paying the tuition.
So tuition, it depends also. Tuition to a yeshiva.
What did you say?
To an age.
Yeah. Again,
base medrash, not the same as high school.
Right. Base medrash, yes.
Right.
Elementary school, definitely no. It can't go towards Meiser. Except for, very interesting, Psak Rabbi Yashiv says, but this is another one, you're going to like this one. Right? Oh, we spoke about girls, but also Rabbi Yashiv says like this. He says that of many schools, why is the tuition so high? For someone that's paying full tuition, because they know lechatchila that not everyone's paying full tuition, so they're charging those that can afford the full tuition to cover, whatever the costs per student for everyone else. So Rabbi Yashiv says, he says that difference you could take off Meiser, meaning a full tuition is $12,000, but you know that really it only costs your child to educate your child eight, but they're charging the four to cover whatever else goes in the budget. Well, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you.
I asked once. I said, "Please give me a receipt for whatever I'm paying extra for the other people." No, the real cost is much more than what you're paying.
Right. But the school is never going to tell you this. But Lemaisa, if you could, Lemaisa, you could use it for tuition if you could use that difference for Meiser if you would be able to get that information or make it a hashara. So that's very interesting. Interesting halacha. But so again, so elementary school for the most part, elementary school tuition you can't use off Meiser. And Alpi halacha, we said it from a Moshe a few times, we said that girls' school tuition you would be able to because you're not mechuyev to teach your girls Torah. So you could send them to free public school, theoretically. But he says, but Moshe says, he says, you don't have to pay a mechanech to teach your children. You don't have to pay a melamed to teach your girl. But he says that's all in Europe when you could have kept them at home. But here, where you would have to send them to school, and legally you have to send them to other school choices, public school, then you're mechuyev to send them to a Jewish school. Once you're mechuyev to send them to a Jewish school, you can't use it for Meiser anymore. Now, high school and base medrash, high school probably also you're mechuyev, but base medrash, where you're not mechuyev, then you would probably be allowed to take it off Meiser, maybe except for, and probably even the food for, the dorm, and, well, again, if you're, That's a little more complicated, right? Now, so the question is the following. And a married child, but even a married child, whether the married child's learning in Kollel or a married child's not, they're working, but you can't make ends meet, and you want to help them out, that's either way you could take that off Meiser. It's brought down. To help out the married children, is you could take off Meiser. But there's two exceptions, two very important points. One is the following. One is, very important, is that when a person is sitting down, let's say before a chasana, and he's sitting with the other, with his mechutanim, and they're setting up, you know, whatever a person in the old, in a dunya, whatever he's going to move, whatever he's going to obligate himself to pay and help his children. So he says, you have to have in mind at that point, this is the halacha, it's a chasam sofer, it's a tshuva in the chasam sofer. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in the Pesachei Tshuva that the Chasam Sofer says that you have to have in mind originally when you obligated or you obligated yourself to support your children that you were going to use it for Maisa money. Why? Because once you made, it's like a neder. Once you said you're going to do it, now you're obligated. Once you're obligated, you can't use your Maisa money to potter up your own obligation. Yeah. So therefore, you have to set it up originally with the intent, I could use my Maisa money for this. All right. So I remember I was on the phone.
You're not going to give it to him and you keep sending.
What?
So I'm not giving you any more than mail and check.
Okay. Right, you could do that.
You tell him I'm really not going to give it.
Yeah.
You said to you, she asked you for money. So I'll give you X number of dollars. Now I'm obligated.
Yeah, but that you had in mind to give her Meiser probably. Also, that's a Meiser. That's a little different. That's a nidrit tzedakah. That the whole thing is here, but here on the tzad that it's not. In other words, on the tzad you're obligating yourself. It's not necessarily tzedakah if you didn't have in mind to give Meiser. You just wanted to support your children. It's only if you had in mind to use Meiser money. I remember I was in a Beis Hayira in Lakewood. I was sitting with a rav, and someone Taka called. He was about to have a vart or whatever. I don't know. He was gonna, and he was sitting down. He's making his cheshbon. And they said, "Can I use Meiser money?" So you know, the rav said, it's good if you call me now, because sometimes people call me afterwards and it's too late. So it's an important thing to keep in mind. The other Tanai, I guess you can matzah, that's what Alan's saying. Saying basically say I'm finished and then start over again. But with the other thing, which is very important, is that what's the other when you're giving to the children, you have to make sure you're not obligated yourself, that you had in mind to give it. Oh, and the other condition the Chasam Sofer says is that you can't use all your Maisa money for that. That's what you were saying earlier. You can't use all your Maisa money for that. Again, because the Aruch HaShulchan is Taina. Because the Aruch HaShulchan says it can't be that poor people that don't have family are not going to be supported. They're going to starve. So it can't be. We can't allow that to happen. And therefore, you can't use all your Maisa money for that. All right? Now, so the following situation could come up. Let's say a person newly married, or whatever, they're married, and he sees that he's going to have to, down the line, support his children.
He's going to what?
Have to support his children. So what he wants to do is separate Maisa money and have a separate fund to, every month he'll put this Maisa money in his fund, and he'll use that Maisa money in 15 years, 15, 20 years down the line to support his children in Kollel or whatever it is. So is one allowed to do that? Okay.
How could you possibly be allowed to do that? You didn't give the Maisa money. If you just set aside for year after year after year.
You formally separate it, but you never give it.
Then you have your Baal Tachar problem.
So it may not be Baal Tachar if that's what you want to use it for. Meaning, you could say that the appropriate thing didn't come up yet. I want to use it for my child.
We have something that's full with the neem with and the other country.
Why? Let's say...
You always wait for your thing to do.
No, I want to give it to a neem. There's no difference between this onion and that onion. I'm just lazy or whatever.
You said before you have to give it a certain amount of time.
You want to know what happened to Baal Ta'acher. If you were mafreshit, why would you be allowed to do that? What happened to Baal Ta'acher? But you'd be mafreshit for a specific purpose. It's different than Baal Ta'acher.
But that purpose.
20 years from now?
Yeah, so.
Remember we had this with the winter coats?
He's a college.
We had it with the Meister. Guy wants to give for them. They're collecting for a certain place. They need.
Poland, yeah.
Yeah, so why is this any different? They don't need it. You're putting away something that's not necessary now, it's not needed now. You're being mafresh person. 25 years from now, I'm going to give it.
maybe you're setting it aside, but if you're not actually giving it year after year after year, it doesn't.
Yeah.
How can you possibly do a kind of mitzvah?
Right. So Lemaisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Yevad L'Chaim, Rav El Yashiv, they say you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mafresh your own maaser for yourself. It's one thing if the kid is here and you want to give him, so he's an ani, and he need that you could do. But you can't be mafresh money for yourself and put it in your own savings account to keep it.
What if he becomes an ani?
It's for your child. But he's saying the need is not here yet. The need is not here yet. You can't do that. If the need would be here, let's say, if the need is here, that you could do.
If somebody makes $100,000, puts $10,000 into account. Okay, then after a couple of years, he has $300,000-$400,000, but he's an ani. He became an ani. So now he's going to go dip into it. He says, listen, I have a resource. I'm an ani now. I could myself collect. So I'm using my own money.
No, you can't do that.
Of course you can't do that. So you're putting stuff away. If there's no use for it, it's not...
It
makes you... Yeah, that's probably true.
Right,
it will make you...
Right. So you're saying that you wouldn't be able to do that. Someone wanted to do that. So in that case, what happened was that the Rav said to him, he said, you're in a situation that you're not really obligated to Meister anyway. This is a guy, himself didn't have a lot of money. So he said, you're not really obligated to Meister anyway. Now you want to go beyond the letter of the law and separate Meister. So if that's going to make you feel better, so you can put it in a savings account, because in other words, there are some shittas out there that maybe it is good to you're not really obligated, then you can do it. But right, and on a regular general for a general standard case, that would not be a good thing to do. Now we'll come another question similar to your question: are you allowed to borrow off your Meister money account? Can you borrow off the Meister money?
Keep a record.
You're mafreshit. So once you're mafreshit, but the place can say that you're allowed to mafreshit, you're allowed to borrow against it, but the Chavetz says on the one condition. The condition is that you can't delay if an ani that normally you would give to comes, you have to give to him, and even if you're going to have to now borrow money to give him, you have to, no matter what, you can't be mechaser the ani because you borrowed against his money. So because the assumption then is that even though it's not your money, the ani wouldn't mind if you the ani's not going to mind if you borrow against it, as long as when he comes you have what to give him.
But you're a gizbert stuff, you can't do that. If you're a gizbert stuff, you can't take it from
you. Okay, but in this case, the assumption is that since you really mafresh it within your rishus, you didn't give it away to anybody, and you're not appointed by anybody specifically. So pshat is that the aniyim, the general group, klal of aniyim, would allow you to borrow the money, quote unquote, borrow against the money, nice of them, right? Borrow against the money, as long as when they come to get it, you have it. So that's very important.
What's the purpose of the borrowing? Is it to be able to sustain yourself, or let's say you have a great opportunity to purchase this stock, and you know that you're going to make your account another 20%.
That's a very slippery.
What you want to invest your Meister account for yourself or for the Meister account?
For the Meister account. I don't want to. I'm creating a hypothetical
situation. Let me throw a monkey wrench in this, if you don't mind. People were living off of their. What is it when you get money from the banks? No, from banks. Thank you. And the dividends. People were living off of that,
right.
Not working anymore.
Right.
And then the market, of course, went kaput. And now they only have a little bit to live off of. They still have some money in their banks, but they're just living.
So this is what we discussed a long time ago with Ramosha Feinstein. What defines an ani? Is an ani based on property, on value, or on income? I mean, if a guy has no income, but he has a lot of assets, is that an ani or an asher? For the purpose, is he allowed to take tzedakah?
I'm asking.
I'm saying this is the question. So this is a machlokes. It looks like we said, I think, that the shach seems to say, the shach is the main commentary in Shulchan Aruch. So the shach seems to say that it goes by income, not by assets. So a guy, like you're saying, he has assets galore, but he has no income. Even though he could live for the rest of his life off his assets, it could be called an ani. Now, Ramesha says that...
What's the Gemara consider an ani if somebody doesn't have enough money for a year?
Yeah, but income for a year. Income for a year. Income to afford...
Sustain himself for 1 year. What's the half mean of income or assets? That's what it is.
No, so it's mashma. He doesn't have enough...
itself, it's not mashma that the guy...
It makes a difference. No, because what Ramesha's talking about, he has a field that doesn't make $200 a month, a year, which is enough to support himself for the year. So Ramesha says that this thing doesn't make sense. How could you have a guy that owns half of Manhattan, but he happens to be poor now? It doesn't make any sense. So Ramesha says that whole thing was talking about in the Zman of the Gemara, that if you had assets but it wasn't making you any money, what was your assets back then? Your cow and your field. So if your cow and your field weren't giving you any income, so it's not really worth that much. What does it help you? But here, if you have assets and you could sell it and get money, so it doesn't make sense that you should be able to collect tzedakah. That's what Ramesha writes, I think.
I'm talking about collect, I'm talking about if he's obligated for Maisa.
Well, he's not obligated for Maisa on money that he already was master.
But you said tzedakah on Maisa, but tzedakah. Somebody comes and you have assets.
That's a good question. If you could help him, you're probably obligated to help him to the degree that you could. I mean, to the degree that tzedakah obligates you altogether, which is not all that much. That's marrying off your kids. We're not talking about marrying off. We're talking about supporting children and supporting yourself, really, with borrowing yourself. Then there's all sorts of shilas that come up, and I can't. It's very hard to go through each and every individual case, but just different scenarios and things that people want to know. Can you use this? Can you use your Maisa money for this? So, for example, what came up this week? This is a very interesting one. Which in Lakewood it came up a few times. Let's say you have a painter. You have to get a painting job done, and there's one guy who's a non-Jewish painter, and there's another guy who's a Jewish painter who needs the parnasa, but he's more expensive. Can you use the additional for Meiser?
How do you know he? Why would he need the money? In other words, that's his profession. You're not giving it to money.
I'm not saying you're giving Torani, but you're supporting a Jewish kid. You're giving him parnasa. He needs parnasa. I mean, he needs his job.
That guy's not doing well.
What? Yeah.
He's not a rich guy. He's not doing...
He has money?
No.
We're talking about a guy who's a painter. He needs some jobs.
It's just the fact that the guy's a Jewish painter. That doesn't...
Oh, right. Correct. But he's not doing well. You would like to give. You would like to be able to help him out.
It sounds like you should be.
So you know factually that he's not doing well, though.
You're paying money.
I'm not saying he's an oni necessarily, even, but yeah, he could use. He needs this job.
Sounds like you should, because you're paying money you wouldn't pay except that you want to support.
So this is a general question. What happens if you're paying for something that you wouldn't pay for except for that it's tzedakah, but it's worth more? Meaning, he does a better job.
So the Jew or the guy?
The Jewish guy does a better job. But you wouldn't be paying that difference if it weren't for the fact that it's tzedakah. Meaning, you don't need the better job. I don't need this fancy job. Relax, I don't need this fancy job. But if I hire the Jewish guy, it's going to cost me X amount more, right? But I'm supporting a Jewish guy, so I'm getting something for that. But I would only be doing it because it's helping the Jewish guy. So what's the status of that? Or for example, where it comes up very often is raffles, right? A Moisset has a raffle or a Chinese auction or something. I would never buy this raffle ticket if it weren't for the fact that it was tzedakah, but it has a certain amount of value, meaning even a non-Jewish guy to win a $10,000 raffle, a guy would pay $2, maybe he's not going to pay $100, whatever the ticket costs, but he'll pay a couple dollars, so it has some value. But you yourself, you would never buy this ticket at all if it weren't for the fact that it's tzedakah. So can you take off the entire difference, because you wouldn't do it if it weren't tzedakah, or do you have to subtract what it's worth? You understand?
But you said before that Maisa money is supposed to be for Talmid of Chachamim.
Okay, but this is...
But again, you're making it to a vegetable soup. There's either Maisa or there's...
It's true. It's ideally for that. But I'm going back to the fact that most people lump it all together. That's the minig. You're saying that's not your minig.
Yeshiva raffle is different than hiring guys to do a job.
Yeah, I'm talking about two different cases, right. A yeshiva raffle, first of all, I'm talking about.
That to me would be...
Fundraiser.
Right. So I want to know how much can you take off from ICER?
Can you take off? I would say unless you win, you can take off the whole thing. If you lose,
it's not worth anything.
If you lost, you bought the raffle.
That's true. You bought a chance.
You bought the raffle. You didn't win. Then all the money went to the sheep. But if you bought it and won something, then
yeah, but if you
want a chance, you purchased the chance.
If there's $1 million,
the chance itself has a value. If you said $1,000 worth of things,
not much money.
If you're buying a chance, if it's $1 million,
it's a lottery ticket. I mean,
collecting $2 million, it's 50%, right? You look at how much the prize is. It's $1 million, and they're collecting $2 million. So you have a 50% chance.
I think the value of the ticket is whatever a normal guy who's not a Jewish guy or could care less about this maysid, how much a normal person would buy the ticket for. That's the value. So let's say we had a 10. I make life complicated every time you come. You have $10,000 raffle. Okay, you have a $10,000 raffle, and that's what we had, and the ticket was $100. So now you wouldn't buy a ticket at all if it weren't for the fact that it's for the COLA. But since it's the COLA, you're paying $100. Now, can you use the entire $100 from ICER? Can you use none of it from ICER? That's one choice, because you bought something with it. You purchased something. It's overpriced. Or can you use $95 from ICER? In other words, let's assume it has a $5 value. The chance has a $5 value. And you could say the $95 from ICER. So I think the scum of most post games is the $95. You have to subtract the value, even if you wouldn't have bought it, except for the fact that it's from a tzedakah. But lemaisa, you got value. Okay? So the same thing goes. Is that clear, halacha?
That's interesting. I heard
go for it, yeah.
It's what?
How do I divide the winnings?
I heard a rabbi say that if you...
That's a good question also.
That you can write off the whole thing, but if you win, then you have a portion of what you win. It makes sense because...
The chance also has value. Right. Right. Right.
Really? So a guy would take $5 is the value, and then when he wins $10,000, he wins.
So you bought the
chance. I got no value.
Sure.
The only value I got was I gave it a check for myself.
What if it's something has a value to the person himself? It's not worth anything to the other guy. Like a coupon.
Let me ask you if the price is...
You can't really sell this raffle. There's no real value.
And they're only
collecting
$500. Would you buy it? Yeah, because you have a huge chance.
It's a huge chance, but I've lost $500.
Exactly. Now, it happens to be that you are right to the... Rav Moshe writes, if there's no limited amount of tickets they're going to sell, meaning they didn't write on the advertising maximum amount of tickets X, so they could be selling endless amount of tickets, in which case there's absolutely no value to the tickets because it's endless.
Some value.
It's not never endless. People go out there to buy the lottery tickets.
Right, that's a Chinese auction would fall into that category, but like the COLA, we had a raffle that we said $600 maximum, 600 tickets maximum sold or something like that, and it's a $10,000 raffle, so then you can figure out the chance. You have 160.
Better, but it's still a chance.
But a chance is worth money. Isn't that how raffles make money? Isn't that how lotteries make money?
Then when I make the money, it's got to be divided into
six. Okay, I'm not sure about that.
You know, whatever you made, yeah,
so yours should be 5-6.
Okay. Right, okay, fine.
He can't say, I forgive the amount that I would have to pay, but when I win, I'll pay Meister on that. They have to
No, I don't think the two things have anything to do with each other. One is buying the chance, and one is actually getting the money.
So let's say he's minusing from the $100, $5, the value. Then when he wins $1,000, 1 second. So now
if you're saying it's all tzedakah, if you're saying it's all tzedakah, then when you win, you should give 100% tzedakah.
Yeah.
Because you already said...
It's going to mess it up for the accountants, because now that check you gave to Yeshiva last night wasn't totally tax deductible.
Well, this is a huge thing.
If it's got a chance...
Well, listen to this. We had this whole dilemma. We had a whole dilemma with... No, with the raffle also. Rabbi Singer's father, who's our accountant, he was very unsure if we are allowed to give a receipt for the whole ticket.
For the ticket of a chance?
Are you selling a raffle ticket?
People go to the track all the time.
Totally deductible.
People
go to your dinners.
Yeah, they have to take a price. Right? Okay. Now,
Michael,
now,
people only go to...
Real.
People go to the track, and they go to Highline, and they go to the casino because the chance is worth it.
So listen to this. So I spoke to accountants. We spoke to accountants.
Wait a minute, I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, we spoke to accountants and other places. So the accountant said a very interesting part. I don't know why I'm publicizing this on tape. But basically said is that if you want to give a receipt for the whole thing, then it can't be considered that you, it can't be considered a sale of a ticket, because you, if it's a sale, then the whole thing is not tax deductible. So therefore, what works is that by you giving us $100, we're granting you a chance to win the raffle, but you're not really buying a chance. But if that's true, that means if a guy would come and say, you know what, I want a chance to win it for free, you have to give it to him for free also.
By law, if a charity does a gambling event, then anybody who wants to put something in,
right? So it means that really you could come and say, I want 4 tickets for free.
Yeah, but that's also why when you go to McDonald's and they give you a problem, somebody goes to McDonald's. But when someone goes to McDonald's and they have prizes, you don't have to make a purchase.
Uh-huh.
So you can say, I want a ticket. Now you can't say,
right.
Because otherwise you're gambling.
Exactly. So if we do it that way, then the whole thing is miser, and the whole thing would be miser, and that would be beseder. But that's one interesting stuff. So again, so this is a very important shaila that comes up a lot of times. Should you go out of your way to hire the Jewish guy? So first of all, nothing to do with miser, but a different topic entirely. Okay, the halacha is, it's not even a nice thing. It's a halacha. The halacha is that you're mechuyev to hire the Jewish guy, even if it's in the lashon of the Chafetz Chaim, even if it's a little bit more expensive.
As long as he is
it's
the
equal.
Same quality.
Yes. As long as he's the same quality of work, you are obligated. And it's not nicer because you're obligated to do that. It's a separate mitzvah. But if it's a lot more expensive, that's our shaila. It's a lot more expensive, or he does better work in the sense that you don't need that quality job. Okay. So then, again, the shaila would be, let's say the first painter charges you $2,000. This guy charges you $3,000. Now, he's giving you a better job, but you don't want to pay $3,000. So you'd be willing to pay the $2,000 and give $1,000 on Meiser and support this guy.
How is that Meiser though?
Because you didn't need it.
It's tzedakah. It's tzedakah.
How is it even tzedakah?
Because the guy needs money.
You need to pay the extra money. But you're giving him the money for the charge.
I know, but you're only giving it to him because he's a Jew, because you want to support him.
Meiser's only on the fact that you wouldn't have paid.
Right.
That's it. You're making a decision. I want to pay $1,000.
You don't go for this? You're not going for this?
Steve, you want to pay $1,000 for a job and you can hire a lot of people for $1,000. You see a person, he's charging $1,400, you don't want to say, look, I'll pay $1,000. You know he needs the money. You say, you know what? $1,000 I'm going to pay anyway for the job.
His $1,400 and keep tzedakah, right? Now, if
$400 from tzedakah, I can understand.
The $400, only the difference from tzedakah. The difference should be the tzedakah money. But now the question is, but you got a better paint job. So since you got a better paint job, does that, you know, can you subtract the value of the paint job? It's complicated. I had this with the paint job. That's why I asked the Rav. It was complicated.
You actually had to go get estimates then. You can't just... You have to mamish.
I mean, I had the Jewish guy was mamish double the price.
But I was told, because
I got some schlock non-Jewish guy, some, you know, whatever, some guy. But the Jewish guy, who was a high-quality guy, he was double the price. And he... Well, it's not equal, right. Right.
Are you saying he was a high-quality guy because he was Jewish? Or
no, he did better work. No, he did better work.
Okay.
He did better work. Yeah. But anyway, that's a child that comes up all the time. But Stam, it's important to be aware of the halacha that even without Meiser, if it's the same price or close, you should always hire the Jewish guy. Especially nowadays when people need parnasa, you know, if a person has an opportunity to hire a Jewish guy, they should...
They all got fired now. I hired all Jewish guys.
What?
I hired all Jewish guys. They all got fired.
Yeah.
The board was anti-Semitic. They fired all the Jewish people.
So, you know... people, it's important.
What? Are you remarking? Yeah.
No, he got hired because he's Jewish. I mean, fired.
And they fired all the Jewish people. And they announced
it. Yeah, I think we're going to stop here. Next week, I want to just, we didn't finish exactly. There's still a couple of cases. Buying aliyahs in shul, can you use that for Meiser? Different things that come up, these type of things. But the question is, two things. First of all, next week we're going to start a little later because I have to be, Rabbi Freiberg is making a dinner. I have to go there. But so I'm going to be, I have to be back a little late. I'm going to start probably about, I'm going to start 9 o'clock instead of 8:30. So if it doesn't work, I can't. No, I'm going to give you, but I can't be here before 9. So maybe we'll give an abridged one. We'll just finish up some of these details and I'll send you a copy.
But in regards to your